It's Comedy Shoeshine.
I've recently entered the level of fat as a man where you have to wear a collared shirt.
It's not fun to suck dick at something. That's not... And furthermore...
Unless it's a dick sucking contest.
Yeah. No, even then, I don't want to suck dick at it.
Are there ventriloquists that aren't comedians? Are there serious ventriloquists?
It's time for a Comedy Shoe Shine.
With Sandra Thomas.
Listen up.
Welcome, Comedy Shoe Shine. It's episode 186. That's something, right?
186.
We need to.
That's the one I said it would be like a computer,
like a really shitty computer.
Pentium 186.
Even in 1993,
Cyrix one. Did they just go right to 286 and 386?
That's what I was thinking. I don't remember a 186, but then again, I'm not as old as you.
It's like. Street Fighter 2, like, was there was a Street Fighter, but
that's a good question. I've always wondered that. That's one of those things that there was just literally no way to answer that question as a kid. Seriously, 10 years of my childhood, like, I always wondered, was there a Street Fighter 1? And then people would be like, oh yeah, no, there was a Street Fighter 1. And you'd be like, have you ever seen it? You know, like, there's no, you couldn't Google it. Like, there was the internet, but not that kind of internet yet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could.
Not at that time. Street Fighter's old.
No, well, Street Fighter 2? Wait, when was Street Fighter? Yeah, there was.
Street Fighter 2 is like seventh Street grade
Fighter
for me.
2. I mean, the internet has existed for a long ass time. There just wasn't anything on it. Street Fighter
Maybe 2. It always existed.
Yeah.
1991, Street Fighter 2. There was no fucking internet.
Yeah, okay, but I mean, when I played Street Fighter, it was, you know, 93 through 97 or something like that. So I might have been exaggerating a little bit, but...
Yeah, there was a Street Fighter, but like you said, yeah. I remember the first time I saw it, it was at that weird... Dude, remember that weird place, roller skating weird... Remember that?
No, what is that?
In town, it was called...
Where?
In Angels Camp. That super fun center of some stupid thing?
Oh, like my God. I think I do know what you're talking about. It turned into like a boot store. It turned into like a shoe. It was all boots. Like, was what it was forever.
But when they were going to open it, it was like, oh, there's going to be this new... God, I wish I could remember the name of it.
It's I know. Oh, my God. I kind of tiny a bit remember that. It was probably when I was like 5.
Yeah.
Right. No, I do remember that. But, so 1987 was Street Fighter 1.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is I went into that place. It was called, like, Super Fun Place. It's had some dumb name like that.
Yeah, and this I don't know that we could Google, but maybe.
No.
Angels Camp, California.
No chance. But they had, like, a giant roller skating thing and then all these arcade games. And they had the original Street Fighter arcade game. And it was garbage. Like... I remember
just
we were
going
like,
to
oh,
say
it
looks awesome. I'm looking at it on Wikipedia. It looks kind of cool. But you don't think it was good?
At the time, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
Street Fighter.
But yeah, that was always weird because Street Fighter 2 is like the greatest game of ever.
Well, and I think I must have always played Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Turbo,
maybe.
Yeah, that's like pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, Street Fighter 2. This is very important.
The Turbo was just a gimmick. It was just a little faster, but it was
the same
game.
It have more characters, maybe? Or
maybe. I thought it was just Turbo.
Hmm.
Man, there was so many. There was
there's a
Championship,
lot.
Turbo, Hyper Fighting, the fifth arcade, Super Soldier.
Yeah.
Wait, Turbo, Hyper
Fighting.
I was
going to say something.
Second.
I don't remember what. Oh, first thing I was going to say. Well, a big thing that we have to talk about is obviously Last Chance U, which I'm sure all of our... listeners have binged season 3 of.
It's been out for 3 days. So
they better have. Yeah. Best fucking show of all time. But what reminded me of it is there's parts of this season where, you know, they're always in some fucking shitty town. Well, I guess it's been two different places, but it's the two different places have been some shitty southern town. This is Independence, Kansas for this season, which,
yeah.
For, I mean, obviously, the first thing to say is, why the fuck does this place even exist? Like, why do any of these places exist? I don't understand it. It's just how could anybody live there and not just kill themselves? I would, every day, I would just kill myself if I was
there.
Well,
you know, the answer is because they used to have something there. Like, what did they have really? There? Like, coal or something?
How much did they used to really have there?
No, they did. They had the,
what?
Yeah. They had the big coal mining thing or something.
In Kansas?
No, not coal. It was
they didn't have shit. That's
I swear
Kansas.
They started the whole like the whole season with about like this town used to mean so they used to pull the rat out and used to eat it.
There was I remember one old lady saying like, "Oh, we used to have this," and even what they used to have wasn't really anything. Like, but I'm forgetting. Yeah. But what reminded me of it was there's at one point in the season where they're talking about the fucking Halloween Niwala festival they hated Halloween because it's demonic or something, so they came up with a new festival. God, these fucking people. And they named it Niwala, which is Halloween backwards. So I don't really, does that solve your demonic issue? Like, if there I feel like demons are good with backwards, you know, like in every movie thing, like or you play Led Zeppelin backwards and it's the devil, like
yeah,
I don't
they
think,
like it they prefer
yeah that's what I'm saying, like I almost think that's more demonic, like that.
Yeah.
He didn't solve it. But anyway, they interview a town historian, which is just some old man telling the history. And then they like a few minutes later, it cuts to another old man and it says town historian. So this fucking town of three people, two of which are town historians. Like, I don't think that town needs one historian. And the reason I thought of it is because we need to go to the Angels Camp town historian, of which there's probably like 70. Because we actually had, like, you know, the gold rush and shit that actually happened there. So it's kind of interesting. But anyway, we need to ask them about
like, well, there was this fun place over where the old Western
roller
store
skate.
Is.
Yeah.
No one can remember the name. It's just mysteriously wiped from the. There was an entry in the Angels Camp log, historical logs, and it's been
wiped.
Deleted. Cut out.
What if it was just like the worst business idea ever?
It lasted like a month. It was so quickly out of
somehow business. The fucking boot store lasted eternity, though. I don't think it's there anymore. I think, is that where the Home Depot is? I don't know. Might be that.
It's home. There's a Home Depot there?
Yeah.
In Angels Camp?
Yeah.
Holy forever. Crap. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it turned all corporate. All these small businesses turned into like the corporate version. It was a, because I think it was some sort of, you know, like homey, small towny,
homies used to hang out.
Yeah. Small towny, hardware store. And then it got bought out by
wait. So yeah, I thought it was the hardware store. I thought it was the,
it was, what is it called? And then it got bought out by Home Depot.
Really?
That's been a long time, but anyway, the point is this high tech boot. Oh, what was the name of that place? It's that specific brand of just like shoes.
Yeah. I know.
Somehow that was there for a good, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. Like, people really need hiking boots or something. Yeah. And it's a gigantic fucking building because it housed a skating rink or whatever, a roller, you know, it's like a giant thing. And I always thought as a kid, like, how many boots could you need? There's no way this one boot store could possibly utilize that much space. I never went in it.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the one that was downtown, like way down by the creek area.
No. That's where
there
the thing
was?
There
was a boot store there.
Oh, no. That's not what I'm talking about. This might have been after your time or something.
Something after my recording, so it's fucked.
Your recording's fucked?
Oh, maybe not.
Well, whatever. Either way, I'm recording you, so
sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have time to get back.
Anyway, so.
This is all gold, so we can't redo this.
I know. I thought a lot of the... I thought there was something about Independence, Kansas that where they actually had some industry going and then... But there's so many towns like that where they had some industry.
Like, what's the higher end of possibility on it? Like, it wasn't a fucking bustling metropolis.
No.
It just means there's like 30 people.
Yeah, but
everyone
doesn't have to live in the bustling. Why? I don't know.
I get that, but could you ever fucking live in Independence, Kansas? Like, ever? No matter how many oil rigs or whatever you're thinking they had.
But that's the weird thing is when people... A lot of people, they live in a certain place and they just can't leave. They're just like, I have to live here for some reason. They don't.
Unbelievable.
It's weird.
It depresses the fuck out of me.
Weird. But, I don't. It doesn't depress me. I think the people like living there for some reason. I don't know. You know, I think it's easy to convince yourself wherever you're living is like fine, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I just, the other thing I think is like that fucking shitty state gets, you know, as many senators as we do. It's like, that's why the country sucks. It's all those fucking bullshit states.
There's no good towns in Kansas. Kansas City. No, that's Missouri.
Yeah.
Wait, there's two Kansas cities, aren't there?
Let's see. Topeka is the capital, right? Because I remember one of the ladies was like, or somebody was like, oh, they sent people down from Topeka to something. I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Anyway. I don't know how big Topeka is, but I mean, maybe that's a cool place. Who knows? Pretty much all cities are cool. But anyway, true. I don't know if we want to talk about Last Chance U or what, because, man.
I don't have anything else to talk about. Good. So.
Yeah, I got some stuff.
That's
well,
all I did for the last week.
Yeah, let me just do one thing I want to get out real quick. It's important news. The other day, I pulled a 0.2 millimeter hair out of my nose and my entire face exploded like I was going to die. It was unbelievable. I can't even describe. It was one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. I just like pulled a tiny little hair out of my nose and it was like I got hit with a fucking chemical weapon. Like it was my whole face like just started oozing. I was crying. I had tears coming out of my eyes. I couldn't even like do anything. It was. And I just wonder, like, why is that necessary? Is there any, was a major threat to humans throughout evolution was that a 0.2 millimeter hair would be in our nose and it has to stay there, otherwise we'll die or something? Like, what is the possible fucking reasoning of that?
Yeah, I don't, why do the nerves around your nose need to be so sensitive? Yeah. Like, you could just, yeah, I could hit your nose with a hammer and knock it off and you'd
it
still
It would have
live.
Felt better than that. It would have felt better.
But you would live the same exact, well, do you need, maybe as animals, we needed smell for so many things that evolution was like, don't even fucking touch that nose.
Don't touch that nose, kids. Yeah.
That thing has to be, that's the only thing we need is to be able to smell like farts.
Yeah.
And women, with female monkeys.
Female farts. Yeah.
Vagina smells. Or, I don't, otherwise we won't make more babies.
That's
I don't know.
Totally true, but it's also funny that like because humans evolved a certain way, our smell like sucks. Like pretty much every yeah. every animal can smell everything in the entire earth better than us. You know what I wonder though? Here's what doesn't make any sense. Somebody riddle me this, because like how does fucking smelling work? How does smell like I get you know the basics? I've got you know if somebody Sam farts, you know the gas reaches my nostrils and I smell. I understand that. But if you've got a pet or a dog or something like that, that's, you know, they've got the crazy good nose, it seems like they can be in your house and like smell something outside. But how did something travel? You know, like if a raccoon is outside, you know, like how did the particles from that raccoon travel through everything and reach your dog in it? You know, it doesn't make sense. It feels like the raccoon would have to sit there and then there'd need to be like a fan blowing behind it. And then eventually like that smell would make its way towards your dog through the walls. It makes no sense to me. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous. I always think of that if we had like a dog's sense of smell, would it just be awful? Like you'd smell so many things all the time and you'd be like, God, I don't want to smell all this stuff. I don't want to smell anything really, unless it's...
That's
chocolate.
True. Like, what good is smell ever doing? Like, the best case scenario, you're just like, okay. Like, that's the best. It does
one
all...
out of 100 smells.
One out of 1,000.
Yeah.
Like, once a year, you smell something. something good.
I haven't even smelled anything in 2018 yet that was worse. I've yet
to hit my one good smell for 2018.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you know, your sister, your wife, or some woman in your life will have like a candle, and then it'll be like, oh yeah, that does smell really good.
But then in like a minute, your nose is like, all right, we're done.
Yeah, we're
that.
Tired
Just
of that.
Stop smelling it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, then, I have to smell baby shit every day, and it's agony now.
Yeah, yeah. It's the worst.
It's so bad.
What was I going to say? Oh, it also is your whole taste and stuff, too. Like, if you can't smell, then you can't taste.
Yeah.
I don't get how that works, either.
God, I went through a weird-ass period. Did I tell people? Did I tell
you
this?
Yeah, your period, finally.
Yeah, I got my period. No, I was having... dude, I'm pretty sure I wasn't tasting things for a while. Like, I had a... God knows what the... So many things happened to me And I'm like, well, I could try to fucking make an appointment to go to the doctor. And then in like a week, I'll go. And then they'll say, well, I don't fucking know, x-ray. And then you get an x-ray and nothing happens. So I don't, you know, like I don't often go. I'll go if something's wrong. I'm not anti-doctor. But like, there's a bunch of things that are right on the threshold of like, you know, I guess. This was something that happened where I made an appointment. And then after, and there was like none available. So by the time the appointment came along, it like wasn't there anymore. So I kind of canceled it. But anyway, I have stomach problems, as I've probably talked about. I've had really bad heartburn forever. And I think what happened was, for whatever reason, change in diet or just change in body chemistry, I think the amount of anti-acid-y stuff, because I'm on a like hardcore prescription for it, and then I also have to take like more, you know, I think the amount I was taking was too much. And it took me a while to realize what the fuck the problem was, because I was like trying to eat and just couldn't eat. I would just like throw up. And I was like, I don't understand what's happening. And after like a day or two, I was thinking, you know, I think maybe I'm just not digesting things. And so I backed off of some of the medication, and then it kind of went the other way. Like it fixed it, and then it went the other way. And like my tongue was tingling for like a week or two. Yes. And like I would eat stuff, and I would taste was like a weird, almost like a spicy sensation. It's hard to describe, but like I had no sense of taste for like a week or two. And I was just like, well, maybe this is my life now. Maybe I'm fucked. And then I think it just got better eventually. I don't know. How many things do you have where you're just like, well, maybe this will be the worst thing ever, or it'll go away in 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of, well, my finger's still tingling from my broken hand. So I could just have that for the rest of my life, or when I get my cast off, it'll just heal. Who knows? Who knows? I give up.
Yep. It's the worst. Yeah, anyway.
I'm glad I didn't get that stomach stuff. That sounds awful.
Yeah, no, it's better now. I don't know what happened, but maybe, I don't know, like I said, change of diet or I haven't really changed much, but I just stopped taking the additional pill I was taking, and now I'm fine. But for a while it was awful. I couldn't eat for a while. I had to eat like one meal a day. It was weird. Anyway, last chance you. I hope you're watching this fucking show, everybody, because it's the best goddamn show. Here's how good this show is. This show is so good that my wife is like on the edge of her seat over a football game, over a junior college football game. Like
that happened a year ago.
Exactly. She's like on the edge of her goddamn seat. Like it was unreal. I was like, she was like following the game, and she knew it was incredible. Not that, I mean, you know, she kind of will watch football if I have it on, follows it and whatever, but like she doesn't care, and I don't blame her. Like who fucking cares? But this was such a good show. That's how good it is. It'll make you care about a fucking junior college football game. It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember the first time I watched it, it was like I was just, you know, browsing through Netflix and I saw it and started to watch it. This is, you know, 3 years ago or whatever, 2 years mm-hmm. ago. And then it was the best show I've ever seen in my life. And then the second I heard that there was a new one, I did that on the show. I said like,
yeah, we
did, I got we the, about, yeah. the email that said like, oh, something has been added to Netflix.
Oh, that's what that like. Was. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw Last Chance U and I was like, oh my God, something that will be the greatest thing ever was just added. I should have been telephoned from like the Netflix CEO. And so somehow this year I just remembered like in July, I was like, oh, I wonder if there's a new one. And so I Googled it and it said, you know, this is like on the 18th and it said the new one's the 20th. And I was like, oh my God, two more days. And every day I was just thinking like, is it the 20th? When is the 20th? And I actually even checked at midnight when it was like 12:01.
Well, sometimes you get lucky, like it's midnight Eastern time. And you can like, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't on there yet. But it's the second year in the row where the minute it came out, I just had to watch it until I fell asleep. And then the next day until I fell asleep. It's the greatest thing. It's pretty the most much perfect show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
If I all it I care about everything. Is sports, number one, and then to have like a reality based sports show that's not fake, really. I mean, I'm sure there's some little things, but it's all real.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
It has everything. I don't care if you're 100% not a sports person, you can watch it. I'm telling you, everybody, it's amazing. It's the best. Like I said, Lydia, it loves it. I'm glad, but it's like the drama of it and like the. Yeah, the realism. And like you said, I'm sure some of the conversations are a little set up or whatever, but all in all, it can't be because, you know, like it's real people's lives and real games and it's just incredible.
Yeah, This
and
is incredible.
So the weird thing is, I don't even want to look it up because I don't want to know anything ever. I guess now would be a safe time because I don't want any spoilers for next year or whatever. But for some reason, they changed the school that they were doing. And I guess Lydia eventually did look it up after we were done watching the entire season. But I guess because Miss Wagner, whatever her name is, left, I think that was a big part of why they didn't want to do it at that same school. I don't know. They were kind of vague, so who knows? But anyway, it's the best. And God, I had so many thoughts on it, and now I forget everything. But like, the main thing I want to say is, why didn't they just do both schools and also do every single school? Like, just, I would watch any number of seasons of this per year. And I don't, you know, and just put them kind of in reverse order so that whichever team does the worst is the first one you see so that you don't know what happens in the playoffs or whatever in the national championship.
I mean, we did this a year ago, but just, you know, synopsis. The thing that makes it interesting is if you don't know anything about football.
Good point.
So, you know, obviously there's like, you know, you start playing football when you're a little kid and then you eventually go
brain
to
damage.
The high school.
Yeah.
And then, high school athletes, the whole thing is getting an offer at a big, you know, college. That's your best chance of becoming a professional NFL player and making millions of dollars possibly. So you're all trying to go to like one of the best colleges for football. Right. And then under that, maybe some colleges that are still Division I, where they're playing other teams that are real big teams. And, you know, guys make it to the NFL that are from Division I teams, you know, like Colorado or some whatever. I don't know if that's Division I, but some team is like, oh, I've heard of, you know, this team, but they're not like on TV. They're not in all the bowl games. They're not national champions or whatever. But, and then under that, they have like Division II. And under that, there's junior college. So,
yeah.
Players who would go to junior college to play football out of high school would just be like, they were on the team
just,
and
they
were pretty
They're
good.
Doing it for shits. Like, they're just like, okay, I can't. I even know some people on my wrestling team in high school, like, wrestled for junior college and they weren't even like particularly good in high school.
Yeah.
Which is a huge regret of mine now. I could have done more sports.
It's weird for basketball because I was barely on all the basketball teams and the guys that were on the team that were like 10 times better than anybody else barely made it onto like Stanislaus State. Not a junior college, I guess. They played at Stanislaus State. But I guess the only point of that is you have to be really fucking good to go to even junior college in a lot of sports to play on a junior college team, especially basketball with only, you know, 10 players on the team. But football, there's 40 or 50. So I guess it's a little easier. But anyway, the point is that junior college is not really the destination for you having a career in football. In fact, it would be like the worst possible. It'd be
it's not even above quitting after
high school. Yeah. If you're talking about in terms of your likeliness to like make any money playing football, it would just be for fun, you know, to just keep playing for another couple of years. So, but what happens is guys, there's a lot of guys that get recruited to big Division I schools and they just can't, their grades are terrible and they can't play. Or they get into trouble doing something and they get kicked off the team. And then really their only opportunity, their only thing they can really do is just try to join some junior college and be 10 times better than everyone else in the whole league of junior colleges and try to get good grades at the junior college so that they're eligible to transfer again to a Division I or whatever. So that's what this whole show setup is. It's like, it's called Last Chance U because there's certain junior colleges that for some reason decide like, let's just be that junior college that recruits a bunch of like failed Division I players. And they didn't fail because of their talent. Like they still have the talent.
Right.
They could play on a Division I team, but it's just grades or arrests or something they did.
Yeah. Or smoking weed.
Yeah.
Or
something
and
like
some
that.
Some of them it could be talent. Like I think there's a few examples where they weren't starting and they, you know, there's like a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, recruiting is the worst thing ever. I mean, I could talk about that for an hour, but recruiting is just like trying to talk some kid and their parents into coming to your school and pretending that like, if you come here, you'll be, you know, you'll play this much and you'll be failing. Everyone will see you. And then they over recruit as much as they can because they don't know who's going to actually come or not.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they'll recruit like three quarterbacks and tell all of them that they're going to be famous and they'll be the best player. Wow. And then when they get there, they're like, oh, actually you're the one who's the best one. And the other two don't even play. And your life's over. It's nothing. Like there's no guarantees at all just because you go to a school that you're going to play, you know, even if you're a top recruit. So it's just really interesting to see like the reason that it's interesting to watch is there's just all these kids that have these different terrible backgrounds, well, pretty much all the same terrible backgrounds. and you don't know, like, are any of these guys going to turn it around, or is one of them going to turn around? And they're good, like, you know, whenever you're exposed, because, you know, depending on where you live, we may not be exposed to kids that come from those backgrounds or that just can't even get like a D in high school or a C in high school.
Can't even. It's incredible. And it's like, there's people, everyone just wants them to succeed. Everyone is doing, they have this miracle worker and this Miss Wagner lady who's just like the academic counselor kind of thing. And all her job is to try to get these kids to just go to class and like write nonsense on a paper. Yeah, just do the minimum. Like it's nothing.
To get a C in these junior colleges, all you have to do just try at all. Just go to class, you'd probably get a C. And they cannot do it.
They can't do it.
And they try to tell them, like, you were a Division I, you know, prospect or whatever. You were, you know, like, guys were, like, at, like, Auburn or Florida State or Arkansas, like, just huge programs. And they got completely disgraced down to the lowest level ever. And it's like, you could either just go to some junior college classes and play and then go back again to a D1 and have another chance, or you're back on the street in your town with no job prospects, no money, your family has no money. Like the stakes could not be further apart, you know? It's amazing. And you're watching it, you're thinking of yourself, like, what if I was in this situation?
You can't even do it because they're just, that's what's crazy. Well, that's what I think a lot of asshole conservatives don't understand, because like you just can't put yourself in a situation. They talk about some of their backgrounds, you know, where it's like, well, my dad killed my mom and then he went to jail. And then every day on the street, I have to try to not die. And I just like, you can't relate to like what your brain would be if from the years, you know, from when you're born to when you're 19 or whatever, that's been your reality. What the fuck do you care about school? What do you care? What do you care about a class? Like you're trying to live. Like there's no way you would be able to do it. So like it really is eye opening to kind of see just how, you know, like how damaged some of these people are and how hard it is to get them to even do stuff that's like totally in their interest, 100% in their interest. Yeah. But man, so that's anyway, watch this fucking show. It's so good. But what I wanted to ask you about, you know, we kind of messaged a little bit about it, but my takeaway from the first two seasons, because the coach yelled a lot, you know, and we talked about that, like how I think my point from the last ones was, and I stand by this, like, how do we know that that's even the best way to coach? Like just yelling all the time. I don't even think it is. But it's just like, that's how it's done. And people think that like, that's the good way to do it. Cause it's real. You know what I mean? But anyway, but I felt like the coach for the first two seasons was a good coach and he just was kind of an asshole and yelled a lot, but ultimately was a good coach. You know, that's how I felt. This guy, this new guy they got, while I think he's a really good recruiter, I think he's like the worst fucking coach ever. And it's so funny because he has this huge ego and is like all this chip on his shoulder about everything. And he dialed up the fucking yelling. I don't know if it's because he knew he was on the show or what. Probably not. I think he just is this guy because, you know, you find out his background is like he already has this reputation and everybody hates him and he's gotten fired from 100 coaching jobs. But he just yells nonstop. It's nonstop yelling. There's never a break, never anything. And I get the feeling he doesn't even fucking know what he's doing. Because in this season, there's like the quarterback is super good and actually really smart. And like, he wants to just call the plays and like, he calls better plays than the coach. And at a certain point, like the punter fucking points out what they should do. And the coach is like, oh yeah, you're definitely right. Let's do that. You know, like he's not even good. I don't know. What did you think about that?
Yeah, well, just as a general thing with sports, I've always thought that coaches are overrated. Like in some sports, I think they're extremely overrated. Though. Football would be the least of all of them. They're probably the most valuable in football. But even in football, I kind of agree with them because they interview him a lot, of course, and he says like play calls don't matter. It's just the players. If they want to make the play, then they make the play. And I kind of agree with that. Not totally, but I think it only works, and then he did kind of say this, but when you aren't calling plays that make any sense, you don't know what you're doing, and all the players realize it and don't want to play for you or whatever, or they even if they think that and it's not true, then you're fucked. Like, so it's kind of like you can't really have one without the other. Like, you can't say, oh, I can call whatever play, and if they want to do it, they want to do it. Because if you're just calling shit plays and the players are like, this sucks, then they're not going to try as hard. So you kind of have to have some good plays for your players to think that you know what you're doing and believe in you and try harder. Yeah, so I thought it was interesting, but
yeah. Well, hold on. Here's what it, did you notice this though? Because my theory is, now I don't have perfect memory, but my feeling of what happened is, spoiler alert. Sorry, everybody. I'm not going to spoil the end or anything, but spoiler alert for like the first or second episode. They lose the first game and they lose it fucking badly. They get destroyed. And before that, the coach is like all about himself and like, oh, he's an awesome fucking coach. And then after that, he starts emphasizing, no, it's more the players. Like, doesn't matter how good a coaching it is. That's what I noticed. I felt like he totally changed his tune about, and he'll go back and forth. Like he'll sometimes, well, it's all players. And then it'll be like, you know, oh, I coached the whatever, and I don't know. I feel like he's talking out his ass and is just kind of self-serving most of the time.
Well, that's the only problem with reality shows is I think a lot of those interview clips aren't really in a timeline. Like, I think
that's true. Some of
they
them
put them where they want to put them for the part of the story. So I don't know that he was saying this or that at any certain time. Like, because a lot of the shots were the same of him sitting in the hot tub or the chair, and like, I don't think he was back in those spots. That's what's hard to say. But I don't know. There's so many different things to think on that show about, like, because, you know, it's not even talking about the whole system of education and sports and how scholarships are used and how, like, there's so many different issues that I think one way for a while, and then I'll watch that show and think another way, and then or I'll think I have an answer for, like, this is how it should be in college sports, and I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, maybe this is the only way
things,
it could work.
One of my favorite things from this season, I think this whole be interesting to people even who, you know, don't care about sports, is I love the fact that, like, the reason this school was able to go the last chance U route, you know, is that the state, I think it's the state, or maybe it's the state college commission or something like that, but I don't think it's like a law or something. It might be, but anyway, apparently back in the day, which is not too far away because people are still horribly racist even today, but like a few years ago, like 50 or 60 years ago or maybe something like that, they decided to try to, that what schools would do to keep black people out of sports is adopt these rules, like in these, you know, these shitty states like Kansas, where you could only, they put a cap on the number of out of state players you could have on your team.
Recruits,
so, and the point was, if our state is mainly white, we can just, you know, not have any black people on the team.
Yeah.
And apparently Kansas got rid of this rule. And so, like, that's why they're able to bring in all these fucking awesome players from out of state. And it's funny because the states play each other. So it's not like, oh, okay, well, that only affects Kansas. So I wonder if going forward, you know, once one state gets rid of these dumbass rules, then, and, you know, their teams start getting trounced, then maybe like all the states will get rid of it. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. And that's what I went back and forth on too, is it's funny because that little town, you know, you got the mayor talks or whatever. And it's like, I'm just looking at him like, dude, you just want money for your city is all it is. Like, don't pretend like you're not racist now. And that's why things like they were just like, should we keep being racist or could we make more money by having good players here? Like has
definitely
nothing to do with anything
to
else.
Money, like, you know, like balance that they're trying to figure out.
And then, you know, they bring this coach in who uses the F word every other word. And like, and, you know, all these players coming in from out of state, who knows what backgrounds, if they're, you know, like, some, I mean, well, did you read the updates on what's happened to all the players since? Well, anyway, I don't want to spoil that, but, you know, it's possible that you could recruit a player that was as just a very dangerous person that got kicked out of some school, and you're bringing them onto this small town campus and all this stuff. And it's, I just love looking at that guy thinking like, you're really weighing in your mind, like, money's still the most important thing. We could put up with any community morals or ways of life around here. Like, we just need more money for the, we need to make more money from our junior college. So anything, we're willing to take any risk and overlook anything that in any other, like if the government hired some guy who used the F word everywhere, they would, no, we can't have this. Like, but no, it's a football team. So that's fine. Yeah. That's how he coaches. Like, it's fine. Cause we'll get more money. It's so funny. I laughed at that the whole time. Like, you just know he's uncomfortable with so much of it, but he's like,
the mayor guy?
Some more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing, the mystery of it to me, though, is it's not like anyone goes to these fucking games. Like, how big of a draw is this, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the show is a huge draw, but like,
I think if you had a powerhouse, like if they did it for 10 years and won a bunch of national championships, people would move to the, you know, in Kansas, like in other small towns, they'd be like, why do we live in shit Kansas? Let's move to Independence. They have that awesome college football team.
Yeah, Coffeyville or whatever.
Better than anything we got here.
They have they literally have the fucking Shelbyville, like Simpsons rivalry with Coffeyville. Yeah. So
that's
funny.
The one note I wrote down for the show, aside from just talking about the whole show, is when they were talking about this Coffeyville, it's like their biggest rival and they hate each other. And
so good.
One time Independence said that it was all criminals over there. And so Coffeyville had, and I was just thinking how funny it is because we grew up in a small town and Calaveras High School was our rivals. And I thought everyone there was the worst, like the devil. Like I hated every person that lived in that
town.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think
in our case, it was right.
Yeah. Whenever you have to drive through there.
We also fucking sucked. That was the thing. Yeah. It's both sides are terrible. Yeah.
But what I thought is funny is like, I mean, it's obvious, but of all the people in the world that you should be like, oh, we have so much in common with this town that's 15 minutes away. We have this probably the same religious beliefs.
Yeah, they're literally just the same people.
Yeah, and it's like you pick the closest town that should be like your friends and you hate them. And then you somehow probably like, hey, what about, Dansville, Missouri? Oh, great people. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the people. They're fine. But the one right next to you is the worst. Like, they're the biggest fucking assholes on the planet.
Yeah. You have it's to so have funny. That sports rivalry or whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Every small town so has good. To have another small town. The closest small town is their worst enemy in everything. That makes no sense. They're the closest in every possible thing, you know, most likely, unless there's some weird divide, I guess. But in most cases, I would bet the demographics, religion, like every single thing you could do is probably, exactly the same.
Yeah.
And they hate each other. And it's so funny. Like, why do you have a small town rival? It's just, it's funny how humans have to have some sort of rival. Like, you can't just be like, oh, we're all this equal and fine.
We need to invent aliens to, like, there's probably no aliens close enough.
No need to invent them, my friend. They're real.
they are real somewhere, but there's nowhere where we can access them. We need to, like, make aliens and, like, somebody do this now. Somebody make aliens. Don't tell anybody. And then we'll discover them. And then the whole Earth can fucking hate them, and then we'll be united in hating the aliens. Because that's all you need. The second we're all under attack, we'll be like, well, we're all humans here. Everybody, the minute that happens, fucking the, ISIS, top ISIS guy will be like fighting side by side by you and I. Yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't though. I was going to go back to the coaching thing and because that's what I do the whole time too, is I think about like, how would I handle this situation or what would I do in this situation? You do that. That's what's so great about the show to me is every player, the teacher, the coaches, you cannot help or I cannot help but to like, just try to figure out like, what would I say? What would I do? Yeah. Like, how would I do any better at this or would I be worse at this? And I just always think like, if you were coaching and a guy makes a mistake, like what would happen if you were just like, okay, you did that wrong. You're out. We're going to bring someone else into.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. That's you don't it. Look, if this is the last battle of fucking for Mordor and you got 10 guys and you got to go fight to your death. Sure. Yell, motivate them or something. But like you're playing football and you have 100 people on the team and you can just say like, hey, if I don't feel like your effort is there, I'll bench you. That's all you have to say. Like the constant fucking yelling and insulting and demeaning. There's no way that does anything that the threat of being benched wouldn't do. Like, and it makes them worse.
Yeah.
Because like the best case scenario is that like, they don't listen to you. Like the best case scenario is like, all right, fucking whatever. And the worst case scenario, which happens with several players is they're like, fuck this guy. I quit. I'm not doing this. That's like,
or they almost start fighting, or the coaches start fighting each other. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to last. It sucks that somehow in sports, people decided like, that's the coach. That's what coaches do.
Yeah.
And everyone does it. And every idiot coach that comes along just goes, I have to be like that. Like nobody has come along and said, I don't have to be like that. Like I can still win. Cause that's what pisses me off is winning is the proof. So all that would have to happen is a guy could win a shitload of games and be a certain way.
Well, do you feel like Belichick is like that, though?
Well, he is, but he's also like, everything is the end of the world. Everyone's, everything's negative all the time. There's never any like, hey, great game today. It's always just like, oh, we need to improve on this. That's what I hate is when you know, a team wins like 70-10 and then the coach will be like, well, we just sucked out there. We have a lot of stuff to work on. It's like, no, you fucking murdered the other team. Like, can't you just say once that you played a good game and everyone played well?
Yeah, they can't do that. Otherwise, it's signaling like they, you know, they, because I think they're all thinking that the next time they lose, it'll, that'll just be everybody will be like, oh, complacency.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're, it's just fucking stupid. It's
so stupid. Yeah. So much of sports is so fucking dumb. It, when you watch it from an outside, you know, like on TV or even if you go to a game, you know, you just see them playing, but the, what goes on to get there is so dumb. God, you had to be involved in it. If I was a coach in some of those teams or whatever, I'd probably just hate every second of it. It's so fucking stupid. It's just a bunch of idiots.
And the poor, like, the poor quarterback's coach, who I'm pretty sure was a volunteer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was working for free.
This poor volunteer guy who's, it seems like, doing a pretty good job or whatever. And, like, the coach is just yelling at him like he's a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just be like, hey, no. Nah, sorry. I it's amazing to me that there weren't more of the people who were like, dude, just no, I'm shut up. I'm not listening.
Yeah.
Whatever this is, I'm not listening to it. I don't care. doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter if I'm the most wrong ever and you're the most right. I don't, this is not, I'm not listening to this. This is nothing. I would just leave every time.
One of the scenes that pissed me off the most or made me most uncomfortable was, like, I think it was the last episode when, you know, the quarterback's dad, the worst guy.
Oh my God, that was the worst.
When they're Lydia sitting at the table, when they're sitting at the table eating and he's like talking shit about like what he has to work on. And you can just see the look on the kid's face.
Guys, watch this fucking show. This is this scene is one of the most, I don't even know how to say it, but it's like, if you wrote, it looked like it was scripted in an Oscar winning movie with the two best actors of all time is what it looked like. I'm serious. It's like, it couldn't, there was more reality in how that was filmed. Yeah, it really was. Yeah. This star quarterback, I didn't even want to go into it. Like, you should just watch it. But now that you
have watching it, please.
He's the star quarterback. He's been, you know, whatever. And you just get the sense over the course of the show that his dad is, like, actually really well off. He's one of the ones, he's kind of different than everybody else. He came from a well-off background, but he actually has one of the biggest chips on his shoulder. And you come to find out it's because his fucking dad, like, nothing's good enough for his dad. And he just, they just, it's the last scene and they're having, aren't they having a meal celebrating that he, oh no, because he hasn't got an offer yet. What are they doing?
Just, he was just working out, like rehabbing or something, and
just
nothing. Yeah, they're just eating. It's like one of the last days of school or something, I think.
And the dad just, it's so brilliant. It would be a perfectly scripted Oscar-winning scene. It really would, because the dad is just, he's on fucking camera, and he doesn't even, that's why he's so him, because the dad is on camera. He's with, like, their friend, you know, his friend that's also maybe a trainer or something.
Yeah.
You know, and they're eating on one side of the booth, and the kid is on the other side. And the dad just start, they just start joking about his, I think they ask him his weight, like, because his weight's really low. He's always skinny for a quarterback. And, like, they ask him his weight, and then they start joking about, God, what do they say? The dad just starts joking, like, oh, yeah, you can't even.
He says, like, what does he need to work on? He's like, the dad is like, I think he needs to work on his, like, initial burst because he only has, like, one gear. And then he's like, and then when he gets going, he's like a truck, like, you said, you know, something to effect, like, he's just slow. And the kid's, like, an amazing athlete, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, and the way he's saying it.
Yeah.
The kid's face, you could, it's like, you know, picture's worth a thousand words or whatever. Like, you could just see his eyes and his brain just going through probably years of this bullshit of his dad just ruining his life. And he wanted to play baseball. He didn't even want to play football. And his dad was like, no, you're playing football. And you can just tell when you see that scene and then you think back on the season, you're like, oh, now I understand why he's the way he is. There's nothing, like, you want to hate him because he's such an idiot and he just, like, cannot get out of his own way. And he's
For me, honestly, I never really hated that character that much, that character, that guy that much, because the coach was such an asshole to him too. That I was just like, fuck it.
Yeah. But yeah, when you see that scene too, you're just like, God, this poor kid, like,
the worst.
Just, I think one of the worst things would be is being an amazing athlete as a little kid, because your whole, you just don't have a childhood. Like, it's completely taken away. You're just, like, used by everybody and yelled at by everybody for years and years and years. And if you make it, then okay, you're, you know, you made millions of dollars and everything. You're fine, I guess. Even then, probably not. But if you don't make it, like, what is your entire meaning of life? If that's all you were supposed to do forever and you don't make it, like, you just, it'd be so hard to turn your brain into, like, oh, okay, I'll just become a lawyer or a doctor or anything else, because you're just never going to feel like you did what you were supposed to do. And nothing is even half of as good as what you thought you were going to do and what everyone told you were going to do. And it's your fault. Like, it's not anyone else's fault, you know?
Ugh, yeah, that scene was unbelievable. It's best fucking television.
It is. I told you that a year ago. It's the greatest show I've ever seen.
100% agree.
I love it more than anything ever. I was trying to explain to you that, like, it must be what people who do, like, whatever drugs put your brain into, like, an amazing, not a high of, like, oh, I feel great, but, like, a, like, everything in my brain
just
is,
like, enraptured.
Yeah, this is completely focused and enjoying every second of it. And when it's over, I don't even know what to do with myself. Like, it takes me a few days to even, oh, so now what do I go swimming, or, like, what is the point? Because I just am so into every single thing that's going on. I could watch it forever. It's like when I watch sports anyway, I can kind of do that when it's exciting. I kind of lose. But this is like you're on the team, or not on the team, but like you just get to see why everything, you know, it's kind of like how you watch the Sharks every game, because you are following a storyline. And then when they're, you know, after a while, you know every player, you know what they did in this game.
Yeah,
that
imagine
game.
If there's a show behind the scenes of the Sharks.
It's 100
times more
than that.
It's almost like the thing that makes this show even better than that.
Yeah.
Is that the stakes are so much higher.
Yeah.
Like, the worst thing that happens for the Sharks, I mean, obviously for me, like, as a fan, I want the Sharks to win, but, like, the worst thing is these guys who make millions of dollars, like, you know, maybe there would be some marginal players that are trying to make it, you know, that are kind of going back and forth between the AHL or whatever it would be. But, like, in this show, it's like the spectrum of what can happen is unbelievable. Like, is there anything else that's like it? Like, a couple of these guys might go to the NFL. There's one guy from season, I think, one or two, like, seems like he could go to the NFL, you know, they're that good.
The running back is freaking awesome this year. Oh, I think he could go to the NFL.
The running back this year and that wide receiver, I think that wide receiver is incredible, but maybe
Thompson?
He doesn't have, like, the, yeah.
Yeah, he is incredible.
Or no, it's like Jackson, I thought, or there's two of them. There's Carlos.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Carlos. The other one is real, he made a catch that was like the fucking, you know, the what's his name, the Odell Beckham catch, like in the end zone. It was incredible. But who knows? Like, maybe he doesn't have the raw, like, physical stats for the NFL. But anyway, like, they're really good. So, like, the high end is, you know, maybe the NFL, or at the very least, going back to a D1 school, being a star, you know, like, there's lots of opportunities from that. Or they're failing out and going to prison. Like, literally going arrested and in prison because they can't get their shit together, and they go back to their horrible, like, towns or cities or wherever they live, and, like, get caught up in crime. Like, the spectrum of outcomes, the stakes of everything that's happening are so high. It's unbelievable.
And you're watching them talk to the teachers and thinking, like, did they change right now?
Like, is this going to be one thing that someone says that, like, maybe makes that
difference?
Exactly.
Amazing. So good. It made me, too, think, like, God, what if you were a teacher and you know, like the teacher in this season, you know, what does she make? It probably makes a pretty good living, 67. I mean, she's a college teacher.
No, she doesn't 50? Make a good... A junior college teacher?
That's better than high school.
In Kansas? I mean, it might be better than high school, but I don't know.
Anyway, she can, you know, she probably can live.
It's a full-time job. Yeah, she's not destitute or anything.
Right. But, like, if she somehow, one of the kids, like, is going one way and she says something or helps him, tutors him, and she sees the kid... not even go to the NFL, but like graduates college and gets a job. Could that be the most rewarding possible job of all time?
Yeah.
Like, that would be the best. I think just one of those, you'd be like, holy shit, I saved somebody's life. Like, I actually saved a person's life. It makes you wonder, like whatever jobs we're doing. I mean, you're saving lives every day on the podcast, but I'm not in my job. And I'm like, I wonder if there's anything to that. Like, it'd be an impossible pay cut to do any job, because somehow any job where you actually matter at all makes no money. The only jobs that make money are if you're stealing and, you know, or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, corporations that just...
extracting value out of other people's labor. Yeah, pretty much.
Manipulating and everybody and all that. But
I
don't know. Sometimes when I'm watching those shows, I'm like, God, what would it feel like? I wonder if, like, I wish I had a job where I've...
Well, what we're all supposed to do, to be honest, and is what I am trying to do more, is we're supposed to just use the system we're in to make as much money as we can and then donate it to good, like, help other people with it. Like, that's honestly, because I don't listen to one of the billion podcasts I've listened to where that's what this one guy does, is like he specializes in figuring out how to do the most good, you know, and it's like, yeah, for some people it might be quit your job and go work in Africa doing helping people. But if you're like a surgeon, you know, or you you're somebody, a financier, somebody can make a bajillion dollars, the best thing you can do is make that money and then like give as much of it away as you can stomach. You know?
Yeah.
So it's the only way. Anyway, I got to go. God, what was I going to... I know what I was going to say, though. That, you, I mean, this is obvious, but you realize that that dad is our dad, but like yeah. slightly...
Except for he's pretty not much. Afraid of anything.
He's not, no, he's not afraid of anything. That's true. Big but difference. That's pretty much our dad in significant ways. Like,
yeah.
In ways that matter. No, there's no possibility of a compliment toward us. It always has to be like a criticism in a joke. That's everything.
The only thing I'll say for our dad, I think
McDonald's.
Yeah. No. Well, that's a big one. No, yeah. I think if you or I were that kid's had that kid's talent, we said we really wanted to play baseball. I think our dad would say, "All right, play baseball." I don't think.
Yeah.
There's something yeah, no, about I the like, it's... no, you have to play football. I'm deciding what you're doing. I don't see our dad deciding well, he our has future.
That, well, he wouldn't do that. But what he would do is what he did do, which is if we make a decision that isn't what he wants, then he doesn't give a fuck about us anymore.
Yeah. He might so be he like, oh, you want to play baseball? Okay. Good luck with that. Whatever. Maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. I think
no, that is what he did that when I quit baseball.
Yeah.
I quit baseball. I was like, okay, I don't give a fuck about anything you do. Dude, I quit baseball, eventually started doing wrestling, and he didn't even go to anything. Yeah. Literally didn't come. One day I told him off in the car and I said, this match that's coming up is the most important thing that's ever happened to me as a kid. You know, I'm in high school.
Yeah.
And if you don't go, you're not my dad. Like, I literally told him.
Wow, that. I didn't know that.
I forgot about it until just now. It's crazy how many weird fucking things with our dad I just forgot about. But yeah, no, I said it was. I was like, if you don't go, I might not have said exactly that, but it was something like that. I was like, then you know, we're not talking anymore. We're not, you know, something like yeah. that. And he went and he loved it because it was fucking awesome. Like our team beat Calaveras, the you know those fucking criminals, those
fucking assholes. God,
our team beat them. They were on like a 50 dual match win streak that went back 5-6 years. They hadn't lost in ever. And our ragtag fucking group with TJ Dillashaw, by the way,
yeah,
TJ fucking Dillashaw on the team. We barely fucking won. It was I'll tell the story someday. It was the greatest story of my life. But anyway, he went and it was awesome. And then he went to like the last, you know, 3-4 matches of my career after that, of my high school career. But up until that point, he hadn't gone to a single fucking one, even though he would go to a preseason softball scrimmage of our sisters. You know, he would go to like a dozen, but because he's interested in that, he did. So that's his version of that thing.
Yeah, it's not. So, yeah, I guess the point, I'm not trying to say that he's a better person because of that. It's just that he's very specific. Our dad is very specifically, if he's interested in it, he would go along with it. But I also think he wouldn't, if one of us said like, we really want to do this and not that, I could see him saying like, all right, do that then. Like, he's not insane. Yeah. Like this guy, I think this one guy's dad is like,
this guy's
all about himself.
Controlling.
Like
yes.
what he envisions his son doing is him, not his son. Like, exactly. I think our dad is a little better about that. That's about it.
No, I agree. Else. I agree. It's slightly different, but there's very significant overlap.
Right. And we're also talking about our dad now. I mean, now versus that, now is not even a thing. I'm talking about 90s.
Anyway.
Yeah. Now he wouldn't even, it wouldn't even.
Who is dad now?
You can't even understand. Talk to him.
Yeah.
So.
Oh man, good times. All right, that we did so much extra that I gotta go. Actually, I had to go like 20 minutes ago, but it's the best fucking show ever, so watch it. It's really good.
Not this, and we're talking about Last Chance You.
Yeah, well, both. thanks for listening. Go to patreon.com/shoeshine, support us, and we usually do bonus for you, but can't this week because we went too long. But we'll see you next week.
This has been a Comedy Shoeshine. Find us online at comedyshoeshine.com or like us on facebook.com/comedyshoeshine. Definitely follow us on Twitter @comedyshoeshine. And most importantly, help keep the podcast going at patreon.com/shoeshine.
Now enjoy the rest of this badass song.